ComingToBook.com.
Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this Friday, August 18th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next hour or so, as we go over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Happy to have you with me as we wrap up this week of Bang the Book Radio, our first full week of shows here for the betting season, basically, which will run all the way through the first weekend of April. We've had a ton of great guests, a ton of great segments here on the show this week. Joe Everett, Kyle Hunter, Brian Leonard, Sports Cheetah, Brad Powers, Ralph Michaels. We've had some really heavy hitters here getting you ready for the college football season, also for the NFL preseason, and then the NFL regular season as well. So if you've missed anything here this week on Bang the Book Radio, please go back and check it out. We've got segments and full shows over at bangthebook.com. Of course, if you subscribe to us on iTunes or you're a follower on Spreaker, you'll be able to get all of that content there as well. But that is one of the nice things here about this show is that we try to give all of our segments as much of a shelf life as possible. You know, we understand that there's a lot that goes on. There's a lot that's going on in your life. You've got families, you've got kids, you've got day jobs, you've got all this stuff going on. Maybe you can't listen that day. So we try to make sure and try to set these shows up so that you've got some lead time. If you miss a day, miss a couple of days, you can catch up with some things. And obviously with just the NFL preseason going on right now, you've got a lot of time left on these shows to take a listen to them because a lot of stuff related to power ratings, college football futures. Look, you've already missed the initial moves. That's happened already. Some of these win totals have moved a full win. Some of them have moved a half win. Some of them have just moved with the juice on either side. But those numbers are still out there. They've been sitting out there for a while. And, okay, you missed the initial wave of action. It happens. You know, you're more often than not, you know, people are going to talk about getting the best of the number here on this show. To me, I talk about getting the best of the number that you can get because a lot of people can't sit around, pick off those Sunday night openers for college football, pick off those Sunday night openers for the NFL. For a lot of people, it just doesn't happen. You're just not quick enough, or, you know, by the time you get in there, somebody's already moved the number. So you try to get the best number that you can get based on the information that's available. And that's just how it is with these games of the year lines, these week one college football lines, these NFL week one lines, and then the win totals, division futures, conference futures, national championship futures, Heisman props, whatever it is. A lot of this stuff has moved around already. But if you got a late start, hey, it happens. You know, you can't dedicate 12 to 14 to 16 to 18 hours a day to this like the guests that we have on the show here can. So still a lot of mileage left on the tires here in terms of the content we've had this week, the content we had last week, and also all of the written content over at bangthebook.com that we've had throughout the summer here. We've got NBA team previews rolling out now from our good buddy Admir, who's writing those. We've got all those college football season win total picks and season previews. All that stuff still has relevance for you that we've done over the summer because the games haven't kicked off yet. And that stuff will still have some relevance once the games do kick off because you don't want to overreact to what you've seen in a one or a two game sample. So if you've missed anything here this week, don't fret. You've got time to catch up. And if you miss anything next week, you've got time to catch up there as well. We will be talking about the first weekend of college football with four games there on September 26th. But again, it will be a lot of preview stuff for the conferences. We'll break down those games, of course, and we'll break down the dress rehearsal week for the NFL preseason. But you know, if you're just trying to get back into this thing, if you're trying to get your schedule narrowed down so that you have time to study, to handicap, to listen to the show, hey, we're doing everything that we can here to make the show widely available to you and also to give you plenty of lead time to pick up on these concepts and these betting tips that we're throwing out here on Bang the Book Radio. So if you have missed anything in a very long-winded way, just catch up. That's all you have to do over at bangthebook.com. On blogtalkradio.com/bangthebook, on iTunes, also on Spreaker. You can find all of our stuff over there. Got back to the majority of the people that reached out about the writing opportunities available. If you're still interested, I'm still happy to talk to you. Please reach out to me on Twitter at Skating Tripods. We'll go from there. You know, we've had some very promising submissions here so far. Should be adding some new writers to the fold over at the website. Still have to talk to my boss and, you know, go over some different things with that. So there's still time. If you are interested, you know, we're always looking for great analysis. We're always looking for great content. If you feel like you can provide that for us, please reach out to me on Twitter at Skating Tripods. Also going on over at bangthebook.com right now, we've got those contests, our daily pick of the day, or monthly pick of the day, daily streaker contest, cash prizes for top monthly win percentage, top ROI, top number of units won. Those contests are no purchase necessary. All you have to do is sign up over at bangthebook.com. We'll send you a newsletter every now and then. Maybe you get some notifications on when the show is posted, when my MLB picks analysis piece is posted, when my college football power ratings post gets posted. You may get some notifications about that. But that's all you have to do is sign up over there at bangthebook.com, get involved in those contests, and you're going to have a lot more betting opportunities here now with college football and the NFL rolling around. So throw your hat in the ring, you know, especially if you're new to handicapping. Maybe you don't want to go out there and load up a bankroll on a couple of different sites. Maybe you just want to test the waters, get your feet wet a little bit, familiarize yourself with the concepts. Those contests give you a very good opportunity to do that because you can see how you stack up. You can go through the process, but not have anything on the line. So it's a good opportunity for you. It's a good learning curve decision for you over there at bangthebook.com. So please check that out. I've been talking about this all week here. I will continue to talk about this as we go throughout the football season. But our friends over at DSI Sportsbook have a tremendous offer for our Bang the Book radio listeners. If you sign up over there using the promo code BTB and the number 25, you will get a $25 free bet just for signing up. So that's a test drive for you. You can check it out, see how you like the mobile site, see how you like the desktop site, see how you like the live betting interface. They have gone independent now from the Chris family of books, so they are on their own, which means that they're going to have different numbers than the rest of the market. They're going to have things tailored more towards what they need. So in that respect, it gives you another outlet to shop around. We talk about all the sports books out in Las Vegas and how there are a dwindling number of operators because a lot of sports books kind of get sucked into some of the bigger names like CGT, like William Hill. So it's very important to have those independent books to shop around at. DSI, now one of them. You know, I don't think a lot of people realize that there are a lot of books in the offshore market as well that are under the same umbrella. You know, the Chris books are kind of obvious with things like Bookmaker, Bet Chris, Five Dimes also has places like Bet Any Sports and VietBet. Well, DSI is now on its own. So you want to have an account over there because independent operators are definitely something that is a bit of a luxury when it comes to shopping around. So if you use that BTB25 promo code, you'll get that $25 free bet. You can go and check out the site. If you have any customer service that you need assistance with, they're very, very good over there. But then if you do decide to make a deposit over at DSI Sportsbook, they will give you a 100% deposit match bonus based on the amount of that deposit. So that'll be free play for you to use. It has a very low rollover relative to a lot of the other bonuses out there in the industry. So that's something that's very important as well. You know, if you do need to get that money out, you have to meet those rollover conditions in order to do that, but it's a low rollover. So if you're out there making plays on a regular basis, you're going to meet that rollover very, very quickly. Then if you do need to take your funds out of there, or if you show a profit and want to get that out, you'll have the opportunity to do that. But also with that BTB25 promo code, if you decide to put some funds over at the live casino and play some of those games, blackjack, they've got all kinds of slots, craps, roulette, whatever you want to do, they'll give you a 100% match bonus for that as well. So this is a tremendous offer, basically a 200% deposit bonus plus that $25 free bet over there at DSI Sportsbook. You know, they have everything that you could possibly imagine in terms of lines that you're looking for. I've even seen lines for Top Chef over there before, for those of you that are interested in reality TV. But they have entertainment props, politics, betting lines, competitive eating, the lottery, and then, of course, the major sports betting markets, college football, the NFL, college basketball, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, WNBA, Arena Football League, UFC, boxing, whatever your heart desires, you're going to find it over there. International soccer, international basketball, you're going to find all that stuff over there at DSI Sportsbook. So again, that promo code BTB and the number 25, you're not going to be disappointed with what you get from DSI Sportsbook. And it's only a game until you bet it at DSI Sportsbook. So we've got one guest here for today's show. I pre-recorded this segment with Wes Reynolds on Wednesday. He had some traveling going on, so I knew that we were going to play this on Friday. Things haven't moved around too much in the preseason market, and certainly the concepts that we discussed here with regards to the NFL preseason are still going to be relevant, even if some of those numbers have moved around a little bit. We'll probably try to get Wes on Wednesdays once we get into a rhythm here with the show, once we get to Fridays during the season, because we'll have the Super Contest segment and then also our segment with Brent, the bookmaker from DSI Sportsbook. So we'll probably bump Wes back to Wednesday at that point, where we can get some golf analysis from him, and then also some NFL stuff for the weekend. But always good to chat with him. You can follow him on Twitter at Wes Reynolds, the number one. He's a high-volume capper across a lot of different markets. He has a wealth of sports knowledge, so it's good to get him back on the show here once again this season. So we talked NFL preseason, and here is that segment with Wes Reynolds.
All right, I'm joined now by Wes Reynolds at Wes Reynolds, the number one on Twitter. We're going to talk some NFL preseason stuff here. Wes, how's it going today, man?
Hey, Adam. Good to be back with you.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Hopefully we'll get you on Wednesdays here in the future so we can get some golf analysis from you, especially with the FedEx Cup playoffs starting here a week from Thursday. This segment, of course, being played on Friday, recorded on Wednesday. So if any of these numbers have moved around a whole lot, I do apologize to our listeners, but Wes has got some things going on here late in the week. Wanted to make sure that we got him on the show. So we are recording a couple days in advance here. And the NFL preseason is going to be our topic today, Wes. And, you know, there are a lot of people that have a lot of different strategies, a lot of different approaches to the preseason. What are the ones that you like to look at?
Well, I mean, there's a couple basic ones. I mean, I kind of pick my spots in preseason. I'm not probably betting as much as I would in the regular season. Because, I mean, you've got more news, and the preseason's kind of a tricky handicap because, obviously, you have some teams that are not going to want to risk injury or not going to play their starters much, and then you have teams that maybe have a new quarterback or a new player in an important position where they got to get them reps. So, I mean, one of the things I do kind of look at is new coaches, because new coaches are more likely to take a preseason game more seriously, you know, logic would tell you, than, you know, somebody that's a veteran coach that's been there 8-9 years and kind of has his program in place. So they're basically just wanting to, you know, get guys out there, get them hitting another team, and also, you know, just get some reps and just stay healthy to go into the start of the regular season. But a lot of your new coaches, I think, are going to want to, you know, try to establish some kind of culture. And even though the game theoretically doesn't count, it still kind of does. And so your new coaches are going to want to establish a culture, because more often than not, you have new coaches with teams that have struggled previously, hence the job opening for the new coach. So typically, you know, more often than not, you kind of want to be on some of these rookie coaches in the preseason.
Well, I think one of the challenging things about looking at the preseason is that, you know, the thing that you just talked about with bad teams looking to establish a new identity, if they've got a new head coach, trying to change the culture there in the locker room, change the culture within the organization. The problem is that a lot of times those teams are bad because they simply don't have depth. And depth means everything in the preseason because, you know, especially here in weeks one and two, where the starting, where some of the key starters don't play at all in week one, they'll play very little, maybe a half a quarter, maybe a full quarter here in week two. And that's part of the problem, is that you have some teams that are trying to build things from the ground up. They just don't have the depth. So how do you sort of balance that element of it?
Well, I mean, if you have a team sometimes that's going to have more talent where their ones and twos are better than these younger teams or these teams with the new coaches, I mean, you can usually try to perhaps exploit that with maybe taking a first half play. And I know with a lot of these first half lines with preseason, they don't release them until the day of the game, obviously, because, you know, it's not going to be like regular season where you might get those mid to late in the week. I mean, you're only going to get those probably day of game in preseason. But, you know, these teams are going to try. I mean, I think if you look at, like, say something like Denver-Chicago last week, you know, the Bears twos, obviously Mitch Trubisky was kind of the story of that game. And the Bears twos really played well, then better than the Denver twos. And Denver, that first unit didn't even score. Their touchdown was off defense, off a pick six of Mike Lennon. But you saw the Bears twos kind of play better than the Denver twos. But then when you got late in the fourth quarter, you know, when you've got the threes and fours and guys really just kind of trying to make the team, Denver ended up winning the game, even though I thought the Bears really looked and played better in the game.
And you've got a situation like that, too, in the San Francisco-Kansas City game where it was a 17-9 game through three quarters. Then the 49ers score 18 points in the fourth quarter off of guys that, you know, the Chiefs aren't necessarily too worried about. I mean, these are fourth string types of guys, practice squad types of guys. So is that something that you do look to do where you've got an established team like a Kansas City, you know, an established team like a Dallas, something like that, to where, you know, maybe in the second half you do look to fade that team a little bit?
Yeah, more often than not, I would. I actually, you mentioned that San Francisco-Kansas City game. I was probably pretty fortunate because I took the 49ers getting 4.5. And, you know, they didn't play poorly, but Kansas City kind of got up on them a little bit early. And then, you know, like you said, you get the third unit guys and whatnot. You know, we're only maybe a few of those guys are going to end up being on the active roster. And guys are still going to try it. I mean, it is more of a crapshoot. So a lot of these young teams, it seems like late in the game, will find ways. And then, I mean, another thing I kind of look at in terms of the quarterback rotation, I like looking in the second half when you get a team that maybe has a running quarterback. And we used to see that in Baltimore. Now he's a starter in Buffalo with Tyrod Taylor when he was in Baltimore. And because he is a dual-threat guy and was a runner, teams kind of had difficulty stopping because, I mean, teams aren't running maybe their full system in preseason. They're running some parts of it, but a lot of these teams will struggle with running quarterbacks because they're trying to learn a system, and then all of a sudden you have broken plays or you have designed runs, and they're not able to stop these guys. So that's something you kind of look at in your quarterback rotations. If you've got some guy that can make plays with his feet at the quarterback position, I mean, a couple of examples kind of off the top of my head, you might be looking at, you know, not necessarily this week, but New England might be playing Jacoby Brissett, or you might see, I'm thinking guys that have run more spread offenses in college. You know, some of these guys, Cleveland with Deshaun Kizer, or Green Bay playing Taysom Hill. You know, these are third and fourth string quarterbacks. So that's something I think that you'll want to look at, is really pay attention to the quarterback rotations. Not necessarily for the starters, but the guys that are the twos, threes, and fours, especially running the quarterbacks, because those guys can usually make some plays off busted plays that are going to affect the result of the game.
You know, one that I was thinking of there while you were talking that had a huge game last weekend is Trevon Boykin with Seattle. 12 of 15 passing, he had 31 rushing yards, and Seattle turned that game into a blowout against the Chargers. Now, the Chargers didn't have any turnover luck in that game whatsoever and kind of turned it into a blowout themselves a little bit. But Boykin was phenomenal in that game, and there wasn't anything that the Chargers could do to answer him. Plus, of course, they have some injuries on the defensive side as well. So I think that's a really good point there by you. So let me throw this out there to you, Wes. I just mentioned Seattle, 48-17. They scored 34 points in the first half. That was an embarrassing showing for the Los Angeles Chargers. And it was also their debut game there at the StubHub Center. So they did that in front of the home crowd. Are they a play-on team for you this week? They play New Orleans on Sunday night. They're a 3-point favorite. You know, do you sort of look for those motivational angles of those teams that, you know, played really, really bad, or maybe those first-team offenses that only scored 3 or 6 points in the first half?
I do, because I think the Chargers are in a unique situation because obviously being in a new market and then, of course, having a new head coach, they're going to want to, you know, get that rotten taste out of the mouth. And I think Seattle, it was kind of almost a perfect storm because you saw, if you monitored that line, there was a lot of late money on Seattle because initially I was thinking, well, you know, the Chargers are a play-on team, first game and kind of a new market, even though it's in a temporary stadium. You know, they're going to want to come out. But Seattle, what you were mentioning about Boykin, they've got a big backup quarterback battle going. I mean, Russell Wilson is obviously cemented as the starter in Seattle, but you have Boykin and Austin Davis, who are kind of in a battle for that number two spot. So it kind of ended up being a perfect storm. And then plus you had Pete Carroll coming back to Los Angeles, where he had, you know, some of the most successful years of his career at USC. So, you know, there might have been a little bit of extra motivation because you don't usually see blowouts like that in the preseason. But San Diego would be somebody that I would probably look to play on more than against this week. I haven't made a bet yet, but they would be where I would lean to because you had New Orleans that went on the road to Cleveland last week and didn't win, and their quarterback rotation is pretty much set, and you know, still having a veteran coach, and now they have to go back on the road again to the Chargers out to LA. So you know, two travels in a row, having to go play a game and then go back to camp and then have to go back on the road again. So if I'm playing that game, I'm looking at the Chargers definitely in that spot on Sunday.
So I heard there the one time you mentioned San Diego and then the other two times you mentioned L.A. Send
yeah, I know.
For us here, Wes. How long do you think it'll take you to stop calling them San Diego? Because I bet it takes me until late October at the earliest.
It probably will take me 4 or 5 weeks. It's like when you have the turn of the year, and I sometimes write like my plays down and on just a legal pad under dates, and then I try to transfer it to a Excel document. But for the first 3 or 4 weeks, I don't change the year. So like in this upcoming January, when it's 2018, I'll still be writing 2017. So I mean, it's one of those things that's just a habit, and I'm just I'm not used to the Los Angeles Chargers yet.
No, neither am I, and I did it with the Rams until at least late September, maybe early October, and that was a team that used to play in Los Angeles, so that one should have been a little bit easier of a transition, but the Chargers are definitely going to take some time here. There's no question about that. That was an interesting angle that you brought up about New Orleans, and that was something I did want to talk about is teams that have back-to-back travel, and of course for New Orleans, this is really significant travel. Cleveland is not a hop, skip, and a jump for them. Certainly L.A. is not. Is that an angle that you look to play in the preseason as well, kind of fading that team in a second straight road game?
Yeah, and I think New Orleans with this second game, obviously we usually know that the third game, because most of these teams play four games, the two teams in the Hall of Fame game, Arizona and Dallas, are going to play five. But, you know, with New Orleans, you have an aging, older quarterback who's probably not going to play a ton except for that third game. I mean, I would see him playing maybe one or two series tops in this game. And I mean, I would think Rivers is the same as well. But, you know, I think with this travel, I mean, teams, you know, they hit each other so long and then they're usually be eager to play. But, I mean, when you have to go on the road and then you have to go back to camp, because they usually don't break camp until, you know, the third or fourth week where they actually break training camp. And plus now, there's one cut, one thing to look at. There's not these two or three separate cuts necessarily with these teams in the preseason. So that means you have to get more young guys in and get them more reps and really give them an honest look, you know, before you just say before you just make your cut. So, I mean, it seemed like New Orleans, they know that Drew Brees is going to be the starter, and they know who probably, you know, all these teams really know for the most part who their number ones are, you know, across the board, offensively or defensively. So, you know, I just think San Diego has the motivation edge, or L.A., I did it again. I just think L.A. would have the motivation edge, and I mean, teams, I think, are going to take the week three dress rehearsal more seriously when you're seeing starters play the whole half and into the third quarter.
All right, I want to talk about Saturday afternoon's game between Carolina and Tennessee. I know this is one that you had written down that you wanted to touch on a little bit. First, let me ask you this. We talked about what happened with the Chargers, how they got blown out last week, didn't play very well. Tennessee, you know, Marcus Mariota was basically just out there to get his feet wet, get back into rhythm a little bit, see some snaps, see some defenses, things of that sort. Didn't play a whole lot. I can't imagine he plays a whole lot here this week. But the Titans had 3 points against the Jets last week, who are projected by most to be the worst team in the NFL this year. So does Tennessee have a little bit of a chip on its shoulder here this week, or do you think that they, you know, are more looking towards the regular season?
You know, I think that they might. I mean, the line has moved a little bit from 3 to a little bit juiced into the favor of the Titans side. I see it's some 3 minus 15s. And I think one of the reasons for that, too, might be not only the rebound off the poor performance against the Jets, who have one of, if not the lowest season win totals in the league for the regular season, but also Carolina did play on the 9th, which is a Wednesday. And now they play on the 19th, so that they have one of the longer layoffs of a preseason. So, you know, you got to look at the fact, are they going to be eager to play somebody else because they've been hitting each other for, you know, the last eight or so days, or could they potentially be flat? And I'm going to be interested to monitor this one to kind of, you know, over the next couple of days, seeing what the line does, because early indications are that, you know, they expect Tennessee to rebound because they lost to the Jets. So, you know, that's one of those kind of, sometimes you get those scenarios where you get like a really ugly favorite that played absolutely terrible, and then the next week that they're the favorite, and you'll kind of see some, I wouldn't call it regression, maybe positive regression to the mean in this particular game.
Well, it certainly looks like Cam Newton probably won't play this week either. He's recovering from shoulder surgery. Ron Rivera, 14-11 in the preseason, did pick up a win there in that opener, as you mentioned, all the way back on Wednesday the 9th. That was against the Houston Texans. And that is an interesting point to make, because you're trying to get into some sort of rhythm here with the preseason. I mean, obviously you're playing a lot of weeknight games and Fridays and Saturdays and all that, so it's very different than the regular season. But you know, you'd like to be in that sort of, hey, we played a game, now we got 4 days of good practice, a walkthrough, you know, travel to wherever we're going, and then go ahead and play the game. So I think that is a very interesting point that you brought up there, Wes. Is that an angle that you have looked to play in the past?
Yeah, I mean, usually – now, you haven't had a lot of preseason games, though, on Wednesday. I mean, sometimes you'll get a team that maybe plays a Thursday night, and then the next week might play a Sunday. I mean, some of this is dictated by television in terms of, you know, because you have each network is doing a couple preseason games because, you know, like we say, it's preseason for the players and the coaches. It's also preseason for the officials. It's also preseason for the broadcasters. I mean, you saw in the Hall of Fame game, which was on NBC, the Dallas or Arizona game, you saw Jim Nantz and Tony Romo, which is a new broadcast team this year. Nantz had been with Sims so many years. They were doing an actual practice game. It wasn't on the air, but it was something that CBS could monitor, where they were actually looking like they were calling the game, even though it wasn't, you know, taped or recorded to air. So, you know, you see a lot of these television, you know, they're going to want to pick up the teams that maybe have a new player, or a new quarterback, or something like that, or maybe one of even the premium teams. So television schedule kind of plays some havoc with preseason at times.
All right, let's move to this game between Indianapolis and Dallas here. Dallas, a 5.5-point favorite. We usually don't see pretty big numbers in the preseason, but we've got a couple of 5/5.5 games out there this week, this being one of them. The Cowboys, a clear favorite. Another one being the Detroit Lions, who are favored by 5 or 5.5 over the New York Jets. Now, you know, this is an interesting situation because the Colts are on a short week. They played Sunday. Dallas played Saturday out in Los Angeles against the Rams. But you know, it's not really surprising here to see that Chuck Pagano, just 3-8 in the first 2 weeks of the preseason. We don't see a whole lot of Andrew Luck at that time, so that makes some sense. Do you feel like that's kind of a contributing factor to the high line here this week?
I do, and I think the Colts' offense really looked poor last week against Detroit. Their lone touchdown was by Stephen Morris, who, assuming when Andrew Luck gets back, is their number three guy. And they scored on the last play of the game, actually, to make it 24-10. You know, the Colts' pass rush was a little bit better, but their pass defense really struggled. And, I mean, they're a defense that's probably this year going to have to rely a lot more on forcing turnovers than your typical three and out, or some will call them tap outs, stops and get teams off the field and forcing them to punt. They're going to have to, you know, really live off takeaways and forcing turnovers. But I thought this was interesting because I want to check, you know, obviously check the local papers, the Dallas papers, if Dallas is going to go ahead and use this as their dress rehearsal week, or if they're going to use next week as their dress rehearsal week. Just keep in mind, this is their third game. Played against Arizona and Canton, and then played out in Los Angeles. So, but this is something like maybe toward the end, like I could see the Colts covering this because this is a pretty big number for the preseason. You know, this, I mean, if you look, you'll want to see what the first half is. You might see Dallas -3 juiced up to like 120 or 125 or maybe even a -3.5, and then not see much of a discrepancy between the first half line and the game line, where it'll be a little less formulaic of what it usually would be. So, you know, I think that's an interesting one. And also the news with the Colts that Andrew Luck is throwing, they don't know when, they don't have the exact timeline when he's going to be back. It's looking like more than likely he won't be back week one to start in Los Angeles. But that's something to monitor. And, I mean, you know, all of a sudden, okay, the guy's coming back. Maybe that could give a team confidence. Or maybe that lights a fire under some of these backup guys' butts to, you know, go out and play a heck of a lot better than they did last week.
Well, those position battle things are always interesting, and they're more obvious from a quarterback standpoint because, you know, like you said, I mean, you've got some situations like in Seattle where you've got a battle for the backup role behind Russell Wilson. In Dallas, you know, with the Ezekiel Elliott suspension, and again, we'll see how long he appeals this. We'll see what happens because there's new news coming out about this pretty much every day at some point. But the Cowboys have a pretty good battle at running back now. They've come out and said, hey, we're going to go by committee. But someone's probably going to emerge from that committee. So do you take a little bit of an extended look at Dallas, knowing that they've got, you know, so many motivated guys in the backfield, or is that just kind of the way that things go in the preseason?
I mean, I think that's a little bit part of it. And also we know that Dallas is a very good running team because they have a very good offensive line. So, you know, that's the thing with the Elliott suspension. And, you know, looking at Dallas in the regular season, I think they may end up being a better team than they were last year, but the record may not show it because I think that's going to get inflated by their success. I think, you know, Prescott is going to continue to develop at quarterback. But I think Dallas, as good as Ezekiel Elliott is, they have plenty of capable backups, and they have a really good offensive line. So, I mean, you've seen a lot of guys over the years run well through that offense, whether it's Zeke Elliott or whether it's Darren McFadden or the one kid from North Texas that they had, Lance Dunbar. So they've had multiple guys have success at running back in that offense.
All right, I know there were a couple of games specifically that you had highlighted for Saturday. New England versus Houston being one of them. Houston, a one-point favorite with extra juice out there. There's a 1.5 at Pinnacle. There's a pick minus 25 over at Five Dimes. What is it that intrigues you about this game?
Well, we kind of talked about this a little bit with Carolina possibly being, you know, having 10 days in between. Houston was their opponent. They have 10 days in between. But this is a little bit, I think, of a different nut to crack here with Houston, because I think you may actually have a team like Houston be motivated to play a lot better here because, you know, we know that Bill O'Brien was a former assistant in New England. We know that they got beat in the playoffs by this team. I mean, obviously, it's preseason, so the importance of the game is not as great. But you also have these teams play in week three of the regular season. So, you know, how much are these teams really going to show? How much? I mean, when you've got a game fourth week of September, you know, a little less than a month away, you know, how much are you really going to show? Now, I think the more motivational side is going to come with Houston, because obviously we know from watching Hard Knocks and seeing him in media appearances that Bill O'Brien can be kind of a tightly wound guy, to say the least, not to totally undersell that, but you know, he is a guy that, you know, I think kind of gets that little red ass, so to speak, in him. And I think he's going to probably be the more motivated coach, because it's still the New England Patriots, even if it's the preseason New England Patriots. And it's still them. And, you know, I think that the motivation for sure would be with the Texans here. So they would be the side I would be looking toward in this one.
Now, if this was a regular season game, we know Bill Belichick and his staff pretty much the best in the NFL in terms of preparing for different things, in terms of setting the team up for success. So in this situation, you've got a rookie quarterback in Deshaun Watson, first-round pick, guy that looked pretty good last week, a guy looking to make a name for himself, and of course, there's a pretty good chance he's starting for this team fairly early in the regular season. So in that respect, Wes, you know, is this one of those spots where maybe Houston's a little bit undervalued because, you know, Bill Belichick's worried about his own team. He's not worried about what Deshaun Watson's doing. He's not worried about what Bill O'Brien's doing. He's worried about shoring up things on his end. Does that allow a young, talented guy like Deshaun Watson to maybe have a little bit more success?
I think it probably does. And, I mean, you know, this Houston team was a playoff team last year. I mean, albeit in the weak AFC South. But, you know, this team did make the playoffs. They got beat by the better team. Clearly, they had some injuries. Obviously, the story about J.J. Watt, not having him for pretty much most of the year. But I think, you know, sometimes you play one of these star teams in the league, you know, you're at least going to get an honest effort. You know, you may not get a win, but you're going to know you're going to get an honest effort. So I would expect that, you know, you have to make a little bit of a leap of faith and a little bit of an assumption here that Houston's going to give you that max effort. And that's what I think is going to happen. And, you know, typically, you know, New England is still the reigning Super Bowl champion. So you know, it still takes a little bit of time, and we see it every year in the regular season. You know, sometimes it takes a couple games to kind of get back really in the flow of things. You know, you've had all offseason to kind of bask in the glory of being a Super Bowl champion. And now, you know, getting going again. I mean, I think New England's going to be all about that dress rehearsal in week three. So Houston would be the side I'd look to here, either lay in the point or maybe taking the smallest money line.
One more game I know you wanted to touch on here. Denver goes on the road to San Francisco. This one opens San Francisco -1, showing signs now of going up to that key number of -3. It's 2.5 with extra juice painted across the market. What is it about this game that stands out?
Another one that we did talk about kind of earlier with the first-time coach scenario. You got a first-time coach out there in San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan. And if you watched last week, I thought Denver kind of struggled a little bit. You know, I saw some struggles from Paxton Lynch a little bit. And, you know, didn't think he really looked great. San Francisco, you know, people are looking at that Brian Hoyer and in the quarterback rotation kind of as your starter and Blaine Gabbert and saying, you know, well, that doesn't really inspire – or, excuse me, Brian Hoyer and Matt Barkley. Gabbert's not in San Francisco anymore, but that doesn't inspire you. But, you know, you saw San Francisco last week really keep trying. If you watch that game with them in Kansas City, they really kept trying. And I think, you know, it feels like there's a little bit of a new day there, I guess, with the 49ers. And I think you're seeing a lot of guys a little bit more inspired to play there. I mean, when you had that change from Harbaugh to Chip Kelly and then to Jim Tomasula, you had a lot of turnover there. So you don't know if you really had a lot of guys that really gave a damn about being there. And I think, you know, a young coach whose father has won Super Bowls. So I think you're seeing a little bit more motivation out of the 49ers. And shorter travel for Denver, but Denver's another one of those teams that played in Chicago last week, now have to go back on the road again to San Francisco. So, you know, and you've seen the line move on this game, and I think those are several reasons why it has.
When we look at line moves in the preseason, this will be how we wrap up this week, and, you know, we'll see when we can get you on for next week, whether it's Wednesday or possibly Friday again, Wes. But when you see line moves in the preseason here, I mean, these are strictly sharp-driven, correct?
More often than not, yeah. I mean, you're going to see – I think that they are. I mean, you know, you're going to see a lot more guys that will bet game day, basically, and on preseason because they're kind of looking for something to bet. Because, obviously, for those that are still betting baseball – there's still baseball to bet every single day. So it's not like there's really nothing to bet for, like, your more casual players. But, I mean, I think a lot of these come out because, obviously, they're paying attention to the same thing everybody else is. I mean, monitoring the news, who's injured, who's not going to play, who is going to play. And that affects moves. And sometimes a book maybe can get out ahead of it and move it a little bit more quickly on air. So, you know, you'll see a lot of that. I mean, you kind of saw it, not to switch topics here, but, when, Marvin Bagley III committed to Duke the other night, you know, you saw immediately Westgate and a couple books move that Duke from like a 6 or 7-1 to a 3-1. So some of these moves, you know, are going to be bets, but some of them are going to be moving on air and books trying to anticipate and get ahead of the bettors to be able to move this stuff so that they don't get too exposed too much.
Well, we have seen some significant moves. There are a few flip favorites here, and like I said, we're playing this segment on Friday, so there was a flip favorite on Thursday night between Tampa Bay and Jacksonville. There's a flip favorite Kansas City-Cincinnati, then also Atlanta-Pittsburgh. So, like I said, a lot of these largely due to personnel and who's going to be in and who's not. But you know, it probably doesn't really take a whole lot to move a preseason line, would it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, they're the limits at pretty much all shops across the board aren't going to be what they would be for a regular season game, and especially what they would be for a regular season game on the day of the game, where the limits are going to be a lot higher because the NFL is the most popular bet sport, you know, in Las Vegas and a lot offshore as well. So, they're gonna take a lot more limits. So, it's not gonna take as much to move a line as it would maybe on game day when you see some of these moves on Sunday, and then you're like, okay. You know, there's some real money behind this.
Well, Wes, great to get you back on the show here. You are a wealth of knowledge across all kinds of betting markets. You can follow Wes on Twitter, at Wes Reynolds, the number one. Thank you so much for your time, man. We'll talk to you again next week.
And I'm looking forward to it. Good to be with you again.
There you go. There's our first segment for this season with Wes Reynolds. And again, you can follow him on Twitter, at Wes Reynolds, and the number one. Few things here I want to touch on before I get into a look at the Major League Baseball schedule for tonight and then also for this weekend. Gotten a few listener questions on Twitter, and again, you can follow me on Twitter at Skating Tripods. I was doing a Monday mailbag over the summertime. Now that we've got guests on every day, I don't have a specific day for mailbag questions, but what I do like to do is that when I get questions from our listeners on Twitter, I crowdsource opinions. I'll ask that same question to all of the professional handicappers that we have here on the show. So if you ever have any questions, just send them over. Doesn't matter what day it is. Doesn't matter what it's about. Please send them over. I know I got a couple here. I got one about revenge spots and how much that factors into the line. I got another one also talking about live betting and some strategies with that. So we've got a lot of really, really good stuff here to discuss on the shows. And you know, I've got a lot of things running through my mind on a daily basis. Sometimes I'm not going to push as much as I should to get some more answers. Sometimes I'm not going to ask all of the right questions that you're thinking about. So if you ever got any questions, please hit me up on Twitter. I will ask them to our handicappers. I will maybe even answer some of them myself. But I love getting questions. I love getting audience participation. And that's something that's kind of been a theme here on the early shows that we've had here over the summer. Audience participation, getting some feedback, getting some people interested in writing, and then also those live chats that we want to do on Saturdays and Sunday mornings as we're looking through all the line moves on the card, evaluating the late-breaking information, maybe watching a little bit of the early games there on Saturday to see if we pick up on anything for second-half wagers or that type of thing. So if you are interested in joining us for those live chats, let us know, because the more of you that reach out and say, hey, I'd love to do this, the more likely we are to incorporate this and also keep doing it throughout the season. So we'll do some test drives. We'll do some things here early on in the college football season. I've still got Indians games and that type of thing throughout September. So, maybe a little bit touch and go at the time, but, still we want to get as much audience feedback and participation as possible. And certainly I think a live chat format where we can talk in real time about some of these things would be very beneficial for everybody involved. One other announcement I want to throw out here. It's a good time to do this because I mentioned already that we're doing our NBA team previews. We've rolled out, I think, four of those here so far. I have another one that I'm supposed to post here this afternoon. So we're kind of getting into a little bit of a basketball frame of mind. I'm going to be doing NHL team previews as well. I don't know exactly when I'll be starting these. My intention today is to update my power ratings, do some up-down stuff, post my second edition of those, and then I'll have one more edition next week before the games actually kick off. But I will be doing NHL team previews. We'll be looking at division odds, conference odds, Stanley Cup odds, and then season win totals, if they're out there. I haven't actually looked to see if they're out there yet. If they're not, obviously I'm going to wait on those. We also get some over-under point total lines that happen to be out there as well. So once we get that full menu of betting options for the National Hockey League, I'll be writing team previews. Those of you that listened to the show last year know that we had a lot of success when it came to picking off situational spots in the NHL. I write that situational article every Sunday at bangthebook.com. So
We will be doing some more NHL content, both on the site and then probably here on the shows as well, depending on how our regular guest lineup shakes out. It's tough. You know, we've got anywhere from, 5 hours if we hold to that strict hour deadline to an extra, half hour each day. So we've got six and a half hours each week to try and cover all of the different sports betting markets here on the show. Can be a little bit challenging, but, we've found that sweet spot for a show is generally about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes. Anything longer than that gets a little bit challenging for listeners out there. And that's not just what we've found. That's what a lot of different studies have said about the podcast format. So we try not to take things too long here on the show. So, I will do the best I can to cover all of those different markets, especially when we get into November and December, where we've got bowl games, we've got the end of the college football regular season, we've got the NFL, NBA, college basketball, NHL. There's a lot going on that time of the year. It's very, very busy. You think about Saturdays in November with college football and college basketball, specifically late November, you're talking about, 60 to 70 college football lines on the board. You're talking about 80 to 100 college basketball lines on the board, plus NBA, plus NHL. There's just so much to try and cover. And also there's a lot for the odds makers to try to cover and for the bookmakers to try to adjust to. So you tend to find a lot of good edges when you've got schedules like that, but I don't know if we'll be able to touch on everything here on the shows. In any event, we have all of our written content over at bangthebook.com. And like I said, I'll be doing those NHL previews. I'll probably do some stuff or some prop stuff for specific point totals and the Calder Trophy winner and the Hart Trophy winner and those types of things as well. So we will have you covered for the upcoming NHL season. All right, let's take a look at the Major League Baseball card. There's one play that I absolutely love tonight. It's been a tough baseball season for me. It's actually been an incredibly frustrating baseball season for me because I pride myself on my knowledge of baseball. I pride myself on my interpretation of sabermetrics and all the other statistics that are out there. Things just haven't worked out for me this year. It's been one of those years with a lot of negative variance. It's one of those years where I probably, maybe just had even too much going on between writing over 50 college football season win total picks and previews, getting married, all kinds of stuff going on here this baseball season. Not an excuse, just a fact. And it's something to keep in mind as an amateur handicapper altogether is it's tough to follow all this stuff when you've got so many other things going on. So, I should probably try to limit my exposure a little bit here throughout the rest of the season and maybe really key in on, some of the factors that I like to look at. And we've got one of those games here tonight between the Diamondbacks and the Twins. I love the Arizona Diamondbacks in this spot. Zach Godley has been phenomenal here this season for the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks have done a good job hitting right-handed pitching. They're fourth in the league in WOBA against right-handed pitchers. Irvin Santana has those clear signs of regression, low ERA, high FIP, high FIP, base percentage, low batting average, balls in play. There's so many things to like about this game. Santana, to give you some numbers there on what I just talked about, 3.28 ERA, 4.71 FIP, 4.78 XFIP, 80.4% left on base percentage, 2.33 BABIP against. Now, what this means is that if things play out the way that they're supposed to, with the likelihood of Santana hitting regression, it should happen. He should struggle here throughout the rest of the season, as long as some of these numbers do normalize. And I've talked about this before, but the Twins have done a lot more defensive shifting in the outfield this season. They deserve to be commended for that. And it's a big reason, along with the fact that Byron Buxton catches everything hit somewhere close to him. It's a big reason why a guy like Irvin Santana has had such a strong season. But I think Zach Godley is what I really like about this game. He is severely underpriced. 2.95 ERA, 3.17 FIP, 3.33 XFIP, 109 strikeouts and 34 walks and 106.2 innings of work. Very high ground ball rate. He does not give up a lot of hard contact. There's a statistic out there called barrels, which is a batted ball with an expected batting average of 500 or higher and a slugging percentage of 1.5 or higher. And Godley just does not allow barreled balls. And in today's baseball environment, in today's hitting environment, it's a lot of home runs. We know that. We've talked about the power surge here on this show, and you've seen it written about pretty much everywhere. It's hard for teams to manufacture innings nowadays. They get a guy on, they hit a two-run homer. They get a couple guys on, hit a double up the alley, score two runs, and the inning kind of stops there. Godley doesn't give up that hard contact. His last five starts, he faced the Nationals, Cardinals, Cubs, Dodgers, and Cubs again. In that span, 2.61 ERA, 2.98 FIP, 3.41 xFIP, struck out 35 in 31 innings. He's got a swinging strike rate of over 14%. I don't think people realize how good this guy is. He's overshadowed in the NL West by some guy named Clayton Kershaw that you may have heard of. He's overshadowed by Madison Bumgarner. Even on his own team, he's overshadowed by a return to Cy Young form of Zach Greinke. So Zach Godley, to me, is a very underpriced commodity out there in the market. Diamondbacks get an extra hitter in the lineup. They get their best defensive lineup out there because they've got the DH now. Everything in this situation, to me, points to the Arizona Diamondbacks. So hopefully this one comes through for us. I'm certainly crossing my fingers, knocking on wood, praying to the baseball gods, praying to the sequencing gods that this one works out for us, because this is one of the few plays that I've felt extremely confident in here over the course of this Major League Baseball season, just because it's been such a challenging year. Now, in terms of looking ahead to the weekend, and really this is kind of a long-term thing that I'm looking at here, look at what's going on for the second wildcard spot in the American League. You've got eight teams within three or fewer games of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim for that second wildcard spot. The Yankees are 3.5 up on the Angels, so they're in pretty good shape here. But when I look around Major League Baseball right now, I don't have a whole lot of interest in betting any of those teams in the chase for the second wild card. Okay, the Angels are 62-59, Royals 61-59, Minnesota 60-59, Rangers are 60-60, Mariners are 61-61, Rays are 60-63, Toronto 59-62, same record for Baltimore. Tells me is that nobody's good enough in the American League to get that second wild card spot. A lot of inconsistency, a lot of up and down, a lot of variance. You look at a team like the Royals, started very, very badly, got hot. Now, since the trade deadline, they haven't played very well. Twins started really good, got very cold. They've played a little bit better here of late. Texas started very poorly. They put it together. Now they've kind of been a 500 team for the last little while. You have situations in Major League Baseball right now where there's so much parity that it's so hard to really back any of those teams in that second wildcard position, and that's a big chunk of the American League. So what I'm looking to do here over the next little while is I want to play on or against the extreme teams in Major League Baseball. Houston has been in a tailspin. They've given up, I think, six games in this division here since late July. They're still not in any danger. They're only up by 12, They're up by 12 games, but we're seeing some kinks in the armor for this team. And so what happens with that is, you know, you've got this Houston team that's played so well, 74-47. There's an expectation for this team. There's a perception for this team. And if you've been fading the Astros, you've done very, very well here of late, because underdogs have cashed some significant tickets against them here this season. Boston, 18 games over 500. They're playing pretty well. They still have some problems in that starting rotation. Been one of the laggards in Major League Baseball in terms of home run to fly ball percentage. In spot situations, I will look to go against them. In spot situations, I will look to play them. But they're a team that I'm focused in on quite a bit right now, because you pretty much know what you're going to get. You can reasonably assume when they'll play well, when they won't play well. You don't know that about those teams that are all hovering around 500. You just really don't know what you're going to get from those specific teams. So, in my opinion, with all the variance in Major League Baseball this year anyway, stick to what you know, and look for situations to play on teams like the Padres, play on teams like the Reds, play on teams like the Giants. And you see this in the betting market. When you look at a lot of the big line moves that have happened here over the last couple of months, they've been on name brand teams or teams that are really bad. You know, you just don't know what you're going to get from Texas or Seattle or Tampa Bay on a nightly basis. But you can reasonably assume you know what you're going to get from a San Francisco or a San Diego. You know when there's value in their price as a big underdog. You know when there's a good opportunity to go against them, whether it's a money line parlay or laying the chalk with a straight bet. So that would be my tip for listeners here today, is play those extreme teams. Play the Mets, play the Phillies, play the Nationals, play the Dodgers, play the Cubs, or play the Diamondbacks and Rockies. Even to an extent, play the Cubs. You know, you have these teams that are in clearer situations, and I think that leads to more certainty. Like that leads to less variance. So that would be my tip for our listeners here. When you watch the betting market, you'll see a lot of these things out there here today. For example, the market's coming in against Boston today. They host the New York Yankees. Yankees just swept the Mets. The Mets have all kinds of problems going on right now. The Yankees with Jordan Montgomery, who's gone to a really breaking ball heavy arsenal. Lots of sliders, lots of curveballs, really only pitching five innings to start because of that Yankees bullpen. Going up against a guy in Drew Pomerantz that's, you know, had some pretty good success over his last 8 or 10 starts. High left on base percentage. Maybe that's a situation where the market looking to play against Pomerantz, play on Montgomery and that Yankees bullpen. But again, those are two teams that we know. Dodgers and Tigers, seeing a line move here in this game with Rich Hill against Jordan Zimmermann. Two teams that we know. Cincinnati and Atlanta, big mover here in this one. R.A. Dickey down about 20 cents from where he opened against Sal Romano and the Reds. Two teams that we know. Two teams that aren't in the hunt for anything. So those are the things that I think you should be trying to look at here at this time of the year. Is look for teams where you know their situations, where they know their situations. There's a little bit more predictability with that. And that is something that I will be trying to focus on here in my picks analysis piece and when I do talk baseball on Bang the Book Radio. Coming up on our Monday edition of Bang the Book Radio, we'll hear from Joe Everett of NFL Draft Bible for our NFL Week in Review and Monday Night Football Preview. We'll talk about some of the things we saw here over this preseason weekend and also preview the game between the Giants and the Cleveland Browns on Monday night. Another flip favorite. I talked about some flip favorites there during that segment with Wes. Flip favorite here. Cleveland was a -1.5 favorite. Now they're a +1 dog at home. A couple of sharp shops still showing pick. So that'll be a game that we talk a lot about there on that Monday segment. And that will be one of those. I talked about lead time earlier in the show. That Monday segment with Joe Everett, because we previewed the Monday Night Football game, that one has a little bit more immediacy for you. But other than that, our shows will have good shelf life throughout the week. And then also on Monday, our college football first look with Kyle Hunter of huntersportspicks.com. We'll pick a couple of conferences. We'll break them down. I know we wanted to talk a little bit more about the Mountain West, which we touched on last week. So we'll talk more about that conference and then also see whichever other one he wants to talk about. I know he did his group of five power ratings and refined those before doing his power of five power ratings. So, you know, we'll see what we decide to talk about there with him, but always a good segment when we can bring Kyle Hunter on the broadcast. We'll have a full week of shows again next week. We'll get you ready for that first round of college football games on August 26th and also for the dress rehearsal in the NFL preseason. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Have a happy, smart, healthy, safe weekend. I will talk to you again on Monday.